عليكم جميعاً ورحمة الله وبركاته. We're going to have some reflection on verses 33 and 34 in Surah Al-Ra'd, inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعاً وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أفمن هو قائم على كل نفس أفمن هو قائم على كل نفس بما كسبت وجعلوا لله شركاء قل سموهم أم تنبئونه بما لا يعلم في الأرض أم بظاهر من القول بل زين للذين كفروا مكرهم وصدوا عن السبيل ومن يضلل الله فما له من هاد لهم عذاب في الحياة الدنيا ولعذاب الآخرة أشق وما لهم من الله من واق. صدق الله العلي العظيم. There are millions of idol worshippers worldwide. Only the Buddhists who worship the idol of Buddha are about 488 million worldwide, in China, in India, in Thailand, Southeast Asia, North America, Europe, and other places. If you go to their temples, they bow down before the statue of Buddha. And this statue is colorful, has many colors, many positions, many shapes. They put food in front of him. They put fruit for blessings. And then they take this food away and they throw it away. They dispose the food. They don't give it to the poor people. If you go to a Hindu temple, they have more than one idol, one statue, different statues. And you see people standing before them and asking for help, pleading to them for help. They do tawassul. So what is the difference between you when you ask God, you turn to the Qibla and say, oh God, or if you stand before the Kaaba, let's say, structure, the Kaaba. What is the difference between you as a Muslim and a Buddhist or a Hindu? Both are asking a higher power for help. Both are asking for intercession, shafa'ah. Both are asking to fulfill their needs. So what is the difference then? One would argue that there is no difference. The Buddhists, the Hindus, they pray to their lords, to their deities, and the Muslims, they pray to this house, the black house, in the middle of a mosque. They call it mosque. What is the difference? The idea is one. There is a very thin line between iman and kufr, between belief and disbelief. Very thin line, very small line. A small line divides and distinguishes faith in God from disbelief in God. Both ask for their needs. If you go to a Hindu temple or a Buddhist temple, you find them standing the way we do. They cry, they ask. Sometimes they scream, sometimes loud, sometimes quiet, sometimes they cry. Where is the difference then? The difference is very simple. It's mentioned in this verse, verse 33 in Surah Al-Ra'd. God says they are asking a statue that cannot help itself. It was built by them. It was made of bricks and mortar and mud or wood. By them, they built it. They built it with their own hands, and now they are standing before it and say, please help me. They are asking an entity that cannot help itself, let alone helping the people. That's a big difference. That is the main difference. God says, I am, when you pray to me, look at the Quran. أَفَمَنْ هُوَ قَائِمٌ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ نَفْسٍ. God, who is in charge, God is the one who attends to every soul. قَائِمٌ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ نَفْسٍ. We are the souls. He is attending to us. He can hear us. He can listen. He created us. We didn't create him. Did we create God? We didn't create him. He was the one who created us. Whereas the idols were created by men. They were created by people. They changed their direction. They changed their position. They carry them from this location into that location. The idols cannot walk by themselves, cannot move. Statues that are created by some artists. That is the difference. Whereas God is the creator of the entire universe. God does not want us to put a fruit in front of him. Do you put a fruit or food in front of God? Does he need clothing? Does he need, family to take care of him, to clean him? No, he doesn't need. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul, a living and qayyum, self-subsisting. We are not self-subsisting. We need help. We need help. We need someone to take care of us. But God, he doesn't need help from no one. That is the main difference. So when we ask him, our petition to God is legitimate and reasonable. We are asking a real superpower, a real creator, omnipotent, omnipresent. He's everywhere. But the difference, God is invisible, but Buddha is visible. Those who worship idols, they can see the idol. They can see it. It has different sizes. Small ones, miniatures, big ones, different shapes, different. So they see them, they touch them. God says, you cannot touch me with your hand, but you can touch me with your heart. You can see me with your inner vision, not with your physical vision. Because if you want to see me with your physical vision, what will happen? Huh? Is it possible or not? Why it is not possible? Why? Tell me why. Because if you are able to see him with physical vision, it means God has an entity. When God has an entity, God is limited. And when he's limited, can he be God? He cannot be God anymore. When he's limited, he's in this room. He cannot be in the next room. He's in this town. He cannot be in the next town. So you are limiting him. Therefore, he does not have a shape. God is shapeless. God is everywhere. Once God develops a shape, he becomes what? Handicapped. He becomes limited to that space, to that time, to that corner, to that room. That is the difference. أَفَمَنْ هُوَ قَائِمٌ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ. Is the one who attends to every soul. and he knows what every soul is doing. Is he equal to the idols? To the idols that they need help? They need maintenance? They need to be painted from time to time. They need to be cleaned from time to time. They have to clean them and maintain them. Are they equal? The one who creates the entire universe, he's free of all needs. He's ghani, he's self-sufficient. Is he equal with one who is in need? Who is in need to be even cleaned by others, by a servant, by a human being? They are not equal. أَفَمَنْ هُوَ قَائِمٌ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ وَجَعَلُوا لِلَّهِ شُرَكَىٰ. Yet, unfortunately, the idol worshippers, the pagans, Quraysh and others, they ascribe partners unto God. Say, Ya Rasulullah, قُلْ سَمُّوهُمْ. Say, name them. Name them here means ask these idols about their attributes. Ask them. What are their attributes? Nothing. Can they hear you? They can't hear. Can they respond? They cannot respond. Can they help you? They cannot help you. Can they create you? I was recently in a Buddhist temple. So I asked them, by the way, where is Buddha now? They said, he's died. He's dead. So I said, he's dead and you still pray to him? If Buddha is so powerful and so present, then he should not die. He should keep himself still alive. He should defend himself against death. So a Lord who cannot defend himself against death, he can defend you against sickness, against damnation, against misfortune. He cannot help himself, unfortunately. A God who was born and died and buried, he cannot be a God. Our God in this book, كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهَ. Everything is going to perish except God. God is not perishable. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَان. Everyone who is on this earth, عَلَيْهَا, on this earth, is going to perish. فَان, from فَنَاء, perishing, except one. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ والإكرام. The only survival in this universe is God. It's God. God has no beginning. Some people ask, when is the beginning of God? When was he born? He wasn't born. He has no beginning. And he has no end. This is the real God that deserves worshipping, deserves that you worship him and you ask him because he's going to answer you. Not other deities. So God says, ask those idols, what is their function? What is their function? No function. Everything in this universe has a function, has a role, has a significance. The idols, they have no function. They create them, they build them in the morning. The Arabs, sometimes they used to create and express God. Express. Have you seen express food, fast food? You order it here and then you get it after 3 minutes. This is what they did. Express God. Made of dates. In the morning, they create the God. They make it, the head, the shoulder, the arms, the belly. And then they get hungry. No food. So they come, they say, God, sorry, we have to eat you. This is not a joke. This is a reality. In the morning they worship him, they build him, in the evening they eat him. This is absurd. We have to use our brains. It requires a little bit of intelligence, little bit of openness and intelligence to realize that these idols cannot help. Stay away from them. Worship the real God. Worship the God who can hear you, who can help you. You can feel him inside your heart. قل سموهم أم تنبئونه بما لا يعلم في الأرض أم بظاهرا من القول بل زين للذين كفروا مكرهم. Why people are worshipping then these idols? Why? Millions of them. Millions, not one or two. Millions of people worldwide. If you go to their temples, idols everywhere, idols. Some of them smiling, some of them scary, some of them look weird, some of them, you know, different shapes. Because people are misled, unfortunately. People are reluctant to stay away from their emotions. People are emotional. Very few are intellectual. Very few are willing to challenge themselves and question themselves. Very few. The rest of the people are emotional. They give in to their emotions. They give in to their own desires. They don't use their intelligence. They use it in business. In business, they are very successful. But when it comes to faith, they don't use their intelligence. They follow their traditions blindly. They follow the traditions blindly. بَلْ زُيِّنَ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مَكْرُهُمْ وَصَدُّوا عَنِ السَّبِيلِ وَمَنْ يُضْلِلِ اللَّهُ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ هَادٍ. And whomsoever God leads astray, no guides has he. What does that mean? It means if people insist on wrongdoing, insist on following their wrong path, God is not going to help them. God only helps those who want to be guided, those who search for the truth. But those who do not want to search for the truth, they are not going to be guided. Those who insist on their falsehood, those who insist on superstitions, they don't search for the facts. Superstitions. God is not going to help them. God helps those who say, God, please help me to find the truth. وَمَنْ يُضْلِلِ اللَّهُ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ هَادٍ. And then 34 says, لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْعَذَابُ الْآخِرَةِ أَشَقُّ وَمَا لَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ وَاقٍ. Speaks about the punishment. Some people say, why God created the hellfire? There is no need. He's the God, the Lord of mercy. Isn't he? Isn't he the Lord of love? Mercy, forgiveness, compassion. How can he create a hellfire? And therefore there is a long debate, still an ongoing debate among the Muslims. Among the Muslims, Muslim scholars. They have an ongoing debate whether hellfire is a metaphor or it is literal, real. They are debating this for a long time. This is not something new. This debate has been going on for hundreds of years. One group says the hellfire is a metaphor, it's not real. Why? Because it cannot fit, it doesn't match God's mercy. God is merciful. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We always emphasize, accentuate, speak about His mercy. So someone who is full of mercy, how can he create hellfire? How can he punish his people? This is wrong. Doesn't fit his character. It doesn't conform with him being compassionate and merciful and forgiving and loving. A father, if you ask someone, a father who's loving father, forgiving father, and then you hear this father is carrying the stick and he's punishing his children, you'll get shocked. You say, I hear this father is a good father, but today I saw something else. It doesn't fit his character. So there is a group of Muslim philosophers who say, who argue, that Jahannam, hellfire, is a metaphor, it's not real. God created it just to frighten us, so we don't commit sins. Otherwise, it does not exist. It is created as a deterrence. So when people know there is severe punishment, they stay away from sins. They say there is a punishment, but the punishment on the Day of Judgment is not physical, it is psychological. So what is the punishment then? They say it's not a hellfire, and nobody is going to go to hellfire. Maybe there is a hellfire, but nobody is going to go there. The real punishment is psychological. God is going to say to those sinners who commit sins and crimes and they don't repent until they die, God is going to tell them, you are excluded from my love and my mercy and my kingdom. It's like a mother who wants to discipline her child. What does she say to her child? I don't love you anymore. They say the child is shocked because he wants his mother to love him, to spoil him, to take care of him. So if he hears that the mother, she's upset with him, this is if the child is insan, you know. If he's not insan, well, he doesn't care. Even if she says to him, I hate you, he says, okay, I'm fine. I don't, you know. This is about the kids back in the Middle East 500 years ago, not the kids in America today. They don't care really. So they say God is going to tell those sinners that you are excluded from my mercy, from my love. And therefore the sinners are going to be tortured internally, a psychological torture. This is what they argue. They say because hellfire is impossible. God is not going to put anyone in the hellfire because he's the Lord of mercy. He's the Lord of forgiveness. However, there is another group, which is the majority of the Muslim philosophers and scholars. They say, no, the hellfire is literal, is real, is physical, and unfortunately, some people have to go there. That's the only solution. And this is why, what do you read in Dua Kumail tonight? فَبِالْيَقِينِ أَقْطَعُ لَوْ لَا مَا حَكَمْتَ بِهِ مِنْ تَعْذِيبِ جَاحِدِيكَ وَقَضَيْتَ بِهِ مِنْ إِخْلَادِ مُعَانِدِيكَ لَجَعَلْتَ النَّارَ كُلَّهَا بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا. If it wasn't for the oath you took that you have to punish the mu'anid, the stubborn, you would have made the hellfire بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا, cool and peace. لجعلت النار كلها بردا وسلاما وما كان لأحد فيها مقرا ولا مقاما. No one is going to go to hellfire. This is Imam Ali saying this. وما كان لأحد فيها مقرا. No one is going to have the fire as his abode. ولا مقاما, or his residence. لكنك, nevertheless, تقدست أسماؤك. أقسمت أم تملأها من الكافرين من الجنة والناس أجمعين وأن تخلد فيها المعاندين. Those who insist on wrongdoing, they insist times after times, they see the truth, they reject it. They are the cause of suffering in their societies, in their countries, here on earth. Imagine how many evildoers we have today. We have now nations are suffering because of one person. Nations, several nations, not one or two. Several nations are suffering because of one tyrant. God is going to forgive this tyrant? Tell him, listen, I have a good heart, you know. I'm a lovely God. So I'm going to let you go. Is this justice? The second group says this is not justice. Yes, God is merciful. But at the same time, God is what? Just, adil. Adil. It's like the judge. Sometimes when you go to the court, you think this judge is very brutal. When the judge sentences someone to, let's say, death penalty or life sentence or 20 years behind bars, you say, this brutal judge. But he's not a brutal. is not brutal. The crime is big. The crime, the sentence fits what? The crime. The punishment fits the crime. The judge is not brutal. What that person did is very brutal. The judge is a fair judge, is a just judge. If the judge is about to forgive all people in the superior court, there is no justice system. Because anyone can get away with his or her crime. So there is no justice system. The same with God. God created justice in this universe. God says from day one, لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة. I am telling you, those who do good are not equal to those who do evil and bad. They are not equal. They are not equal. Those who commit crimes, they are going to see the result of their crimes. I am not going to let them go. Yes, I am merciful, but I am merciful to those who are good. Or to those who did some mistakes, wrongly, accidentally, not on purpose. Not someone who's sending his warplanes to bomb a village, a city, a country. People who are hungry, people who are sick, people who need help. People who have no infrastructure, but yet he sends his warplanes to destroy them and to kill them. Do you think God is going to forgive this person? God is not going to do that. So the hellfire is real. The second group says it is real because some people, they chose to go to hellfire. God didn't choose for them. It was their choice. It was their choice to go to the hellfire. They deprived themselves from God's forgiveness. God has given them opportunities to stop their crimes, to repent. Do you know tonight, Laylatul Jum'ah, tonight, we have a hadith of the Prophet that God opens his doors tonight from sunset until tomorrow dawn. Ala hal min mustaghfirin fa aghfiru lah. Is there anyone wants to come to me to seek forgiveness? I am there. I am waiting. God is saying this. Ala hal min ta'ibin fa atubu alayh. Is there anyone who wants to repent? I am here. I am here. I will give him repentance. Ala hal min talibi haja. Is there anyone who has a need? Fa aqdiha lah. I am going to fulfill his need for him. God is giving us these opportunities to go back to him. He is the Lord of mercy. But some people are stubborn. Some people are mu'anid. They defy God. They don't want to listen to him. They don't listen. They chose that path for themselves. Let me conclude with a verse in the Quran. This verse in chapter 6, Surah Al-An'am, verse 27-28. Listen to this verse. God says, some of the criminals, when they are brought to the hellfire and they are about to enter the hellfire, at that last minute they say, we wish we did not do these crimes. We wish we had gone back to God in repentance. God says, even if I forgive them there, suppose I will forgive them, I bring them back to life, they're going to commit the same crimes again and again and again. This is a verse in Surah Al-An'am. وَلَوْ تَرَى O Ya Rasulullah, if you can see some of them on the Day of Judgment, إِذْ وُقِفُوا عَلَى النَّارِ They're going to be brought to the verge of the hellfire. فَقَالُوا They will scream, they will shout. فَقَالُوا يَا لَيْتَنَا نُرَدْ We wish God is going to forgive us and send us back. Nurad. Send us back to this life so we can restore the damage. We can repent. We can be good people there. فَقَالُوا يَا لَيْتَنَا نُرَدُّ وَلَا نُكَذِّبْ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّنَا If he send us back to this life, we are not going to reject him anymore. We are not going to reject him. We are not going to reject what God is telling us. وَنَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. We promise we're going to be among the believers. This is what they say when they are standing about to enter the hellfire. Listen to the next section. بَلْ بَدَى لَهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يُخْفُونَ مِنْ قَبْلِ وَلَوْ رُدُّوا لَعَادُوا لِمَا نُهُوا عَنْهِ. Even if we forgive them and bring them back to this life, لَعَادُوا, they will do again exactly what they did in the past. لَعَادُوا لِمَا نُهُوا عَنْهِ وَإِنَّهُمْ, God says, indeed, they are liars. وَإِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ. Imagine, God says, even when they see the hellfire with their eyes, they see the burning fire, and we forgive them and we bring them back, they still are going to do. What do you call this type of people? What is their name?
Stubborn.
Have you seen some people who are stubborn? They see the damage they do to their societies, to their families. I was asked one time to interfere or intervene with a person who committed domestic violence against his family here in Orange County. And among 300 judges that we have in this Orange County Superior Court, we have almost 300 judges. I knew only one judge. And subhanAllah, the guy called me from Australia. He said, my brother is in jail here in Orange County, and I want you to intervene. I told him, listen, you think this is Middle East here? This is America. We cannot. The justice system is independent here. He says, Sayyid, please, he's innocent, you know. I said, okay, let me try. There are 300 judges here. Do you know that? It happened that I knew only one judge. I knew her, a female. Only one. And it happened that the case of this man was with this judge. Can you imagine? So I talked to the judge. She said to me, Imam, this guy, you don't know about his case, because his brother told you what happened. You have to listen to me too. I said, yeah, of course I would listen. She said, I forgave him three times. Each time I forgive him, I let him go. He goes back home and he hits his wife and his daughters, not just his wife. And they come with the bruises on their skin, on their arms, on their, you know. And then I put him in jail for a few days, and then I release him, and then again he does the same thing. Until he's sent away, out of California. He has no right to come back. And then the judge said something. It was a wake-up call for me. She said, Imam, you have to believe in justice. Your religion is Islamic religion, and you have to believe in justice. Don't prevent the course of justice. Don't intercede on behalf of some people who commit, every day they commit domestic violence. This is wrong. Don't do that. She's right. Every time he's forgiven, he's sent home, he does exactly the same act. What do you do with this? This is a stubborn person. Stubborn. And the stubborn has no solution. Has no solution. You cannot forgive someone who endangers the life of his family, his children, his neighbors. You cannot. This is wrong. And God would not do that. God says every person would bear the consequences of his or her act. Maybe first time we forgive, the second time. But if this is happening, this is a habit, then it has another solution, and that solution is punishment. That person cannot be with his wife and his children anymore. He cannot. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إن شاء الله. On Sunday tomorrow is Salatul Jumu'ah at 1 p.m. and Sunday at 6 p.m. إن شاء الله we will attend the celebration of Eid al-Ghadir إن شاء الله, the Eid of Imama and Wilaya of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Invite your friends, your family members, the young ones, the young generation, and we're going to give certificates of recognition and appreciation to 14 men and women in the community who embraced the school of Ahlul Bayt, inshallah. 14 good men and women, good, committed. We encourage them, inshallah, because they sacrificed and they followed the truth, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to always show us the path to the truth so we can follow the truth and justice, inshallah. Now, Hajj Mushtaba is going to recite brief poetry for the Milad, the occasion of the Milad of our Imam, Al-Imam Aliyun Al-Hadi, alayhi salatu wassalam. Sallu ala Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad.